Everyone is talking about artificial intelligence, but somehow, each of us has our own definition and we are fully convinced that everyone else is wrong. So before we define AI, let's start with the most important question. Can machines think? So welcome to the first episode of my new AI series, where we will explore the intellectual capabilities of machines, if they even exist. And the first item on the menu is, can machines think? The problem is, in order to answer that, we will first need to define thinking, and what exactly do we consider a machine? Which in both cases is not a very straightforward answer. Thinking is very abstract. It deals with reasoning, intentions, and things that we are unable to measure mathematically. While a machine sometimes refers to electronics or devices, and other times it refers to people or organizations. So, how are we supposed to answer this question if we can barely define it? For this, let me take you back to 1950. Right around the time where the first electronic computers started to emerge. And even though their computational powers and speed would be absolutely crushed by good old Pentium 1, philosophers and mathematicians were already reasoning about machine intelligence. Among them was one of the founding fathers of AI, the brilliant Alan Matheson Turing, and the next three episodes are dedicated to his Computing, Machinery, and Intelligence paper, which I highly recommend reading, and I really hope you'll enjoy my simplified take. So in his paper, Turing suggested the following. Instead of simply asking, can machines think, let's try to test them with something called an imitation game. This game requires two players, a liar, player A, as well as a helper, player B. Alongside the players, another role is taken by an interrogator, C. The rules of the game are quite simple. One of the players is a man, the other player is a woman. One of the players lies, the other player speaks the truth. The objective of the interrogator is to determine which of the players is the man and which is the woman without seeing, hearing, touching, and probably even smelling the players, because their only means of communication is typewritten text. In fact, the interrogator must be placed in a completely different room. The interrogator will then ask questions such as, what is the style and size of your shoes? And then the players will provide their answers in response. Now, sometimes the man will take the role of player A, pretending he is the woman. Other times, the woman will take the role of player A, pretending she is the man. It is also important to mention that the interrogator knows nothing of A and B. The players are referred to as player X and player Y, and that way it is impossible to tell which of them is supposed to lie. Then, after a set number of minutes and various questions, of course, the interrogator makes a first guess. After several guesses, the game ends and we are able to check if the interrogator was mostly right or mostly wrong. We use statistics to determine how often the correct identification was given. Okay, but what does it have to do with AI? Well, imagine the same game, but one that is played with a machine in the role of player A, as in the role that tricks the interrogator. That way, we are no longer dealing with a man versus a woman, but a human versus a machine. Now, you may argue that this type of game is not exactly fair to us humans, because if we pretend to be a machine, we'll probably do a terrible job. I mean, try calculating the square root of 8888 at the same speed that a machine would. It's not gonna happen, unless you're some kind of a genius. So the only way to even up the odds is to train the machine to provide answers that are naturally given by humans. So, for example, I'm gonna pass on this one. I've never been good with math. Which means that our machine is perfectly capable of lying, because when it comes to math, it is an expert. Now, with these conditions, we are also able to check if interrogators correctly guess just as often as they do when the game is played with three humans, and that's one of the main purposes of the imitation game. But it's important to mention that this game is not meant to determine the capabilities of all machines, or be restricted to machines that currently exist, or even worse, existed during the 1950s. No, this game is meant to answer a simple question. Are there imaginable machines that would do well in the imitation game, which is far less ambiguous than can machines think? Okay, so we no longer need to define thinking. Great, but we are yet to determine what exactly do we consider a machine. Are we talking about Neuralink machines or toasters? Because, you know, there's a bit of a gap. For this, I will see you in the next episode, where we will dive deeper into the computing machinery and intelligence paper. And thank you so much for watching. If you found this video helpful, please share it with the world. And don't forget to leave it a huge thumbs up. If you have anything to say or any questions, please leave me a comment below. And if you'd like to see more videos of this kind, you can always subscribe to my channel and turn on the notification bell. Now, if you don't have the patience to wait until the next episode, why don't you join our Discord community, where I've already shared all three episodes of Can Computers Think well ahead of time? And yeah, I'll see you soon in another awesome tutorial. In the meanwhile, bye-bye.